these are.
It's game time.
Quiet, please. I am analyzing.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Is the next step the transplantation of the human brain?
Ballsy. Stupid, but ballsy.
Stand by for action.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Okay.
Remember, we're not dealing with an intelligence on our own level.
Bring in the logic probe!
Ooh.
End of line.
Well, hello and welcome to the Gamers Haven podcast. As you can tell, this is Ethan. I am here recording just a singular portion of this episode. We couldn't actually make it together this year. Me, Jeremy, Nathan, and Noah just had too much going on with the holidays, so we just couldn't get stuff together. So we're each going to try to record a segment and get it out by the end of the month, just so we have a release for December 2016, sort of the last hurrah for this fantastic year. I'm actually sitting here recording on December 29th to give you an idea. About the middle of the month, my whole family got hit with the death plague and have been recovering ever since. On top of that, obviously, we got Christmas and my birthday going on, so it was a kind of a crazy time. But regardless, we are going strong. We are here. I know Jeremy has recorded a segment. I don't know if Noah or Nathan are going to have a chance to. If they don't, then they won't have segments in this month's episode. But we will get it out. I'm actually going to sit here and talk to you about some of the stuff I got for my birthday and for Christmas, as well as some news that has popped up here and there. excuse me, I'm still having a little bit of a cough. I actually got four games this Christmas, this holiday season. One game got for my birthday. One game I actually won online through an internet contest, and the other two I got as presents for Christmas. So, go ahead and get started on it. First game I got. Now I may preface this by I haven't actually had a chance to play any of these, so this is kind of just like an unboxing. This is just, you know, ooh, first impressions. I got a game called Sushi Go. It's a pick and pass card game where you build sushi. Using decks of cards, you have this deck of cards and you're building sushi and you're trying to bake the best sushi and have dessert and all this stuff. It looked like a lot of fun. I've heard a lot of good things. It's from the company called Game Right, which has done actually several other good systems. The one I got is the regular one. There's a bigger party edition, but I got the regular one. And it comes with, it's just a tin with a bunch of cards in it. Very small rule book. It looks like it's going to be a fun, quick game to play. I'm actually really looking forward to it. I've seen this game on the shelf actually for several years now, and it's always looked like a fun little game. But being that my wife and I love sushi, and several of us at the Gamers Haven, we love the tastiness of sushi. But being in the center of the country, being in Kansas, it's not something that we can afford to get good versions of. We can go down to the supermarket and get sushi, but that's iffy. I do believe I saw a gas station selling it not too long ago, but you know, this the notion of having that as a gas station sushi is kind of terrifying. But here we go. We have Sushi Go from Game Right. Looks like a lot of fun. The other game I got for Christmas is an interesting one. I've got Irelandopoly. It is essentially Monopoly, but with an Irish theme. I'm not sure entirely why I got this. My mother-in-law sent it to me. I guess we need a version of Monopoly in our game library, or in our personal library, I should say. I actually don't have one currently. I was thinking about picking up like a Doctor Who version, but now I guess I have the Irish version. In this one, you can actually play as a bicycle, a clotta ring, a pig, a shamrock, shepherd's pie, or a high five. I think at that last one, they were kind of stretching and trying to figure out, oh, crap, we need, you know, six pieces. We need a six piece. High five. There we go. It's from a company called Late for the Sky out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So, I mean, it's one of those... one of those versions of Monopoly you see wandering around quite prominently. And interesting thing enough, I mean, it's Monopoly. There actually isn't a rule book inside of here. Because one thing I definitely wanted to take a look at and check out... Oh, wait, nope. It has a little rules sheet that I was very, very interested to see if knowing about legal issues, if they actually got this game licensed from Monopoly or whatnot, but I really think it's an unlicensed version of the game. It might be slightly different. I don't know much about these versions, but I see like Kansas City-opoly and Irish-opoly, Scottish-opoly. I see a lot of opolies around, but I know most of them, quite a few of them used to be fake or used to be illegal copies. Okay, on to the third game that I actually got. This is one I got for my birthday. My brother and his wife picked up a copy of Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu, which I'm pretty excited about. You know, being a fan of the original Pandemic, my wife and I own the main game plus one of the expansions. We'd love to get the rest, but, you know, life and all. This one being a spin-off of Cthulhu, from what I can gather with this game is you're actually stopping sort of the spread of the cults of Cthulhu and the Old Ones Awaken. So it's sort of Pandemic meets Arkham Horror a little bit. It looks great. It's got little miniatures, 2 to 4 players, up to 40 minutes. It looks like this is sort of the one I'm really looking forward to playing out of the stuff I got for Christmas. From Z-Man Games, the Pandemic Reign of Cthulhu game. I don't know too much about it. I mean, obviously, you've got the pandemic cooperation going on, and I'm sure that means the game is stupidly hard. A good spin on this type of game is going to be fun. Now, I know they're putting out different spins on Pandemic, with Reign of Cthulhu being one of the first ones, and they've probably got other ones coming down the pipe. This being such a huge hit of a game, Pandemic is, I think we'll see a lot of good stuff coming out there. Now, this last one I got is actually a game I won online through an online contest from Magic Meeple Games called Dark Rock Ventures. It is a game set in the future, year 3015, where the galaxy is racked by an interplanetary depression. Most planets have been overmined, and the deadliest occupation is now also the most lucrative, asteroid mining in the deepest, darkest reaches of space. In Dark Rock Ventures, you control a deep space asteroid mining venture. With your small ship and your hand-picked crew, you'll set out with a goal of extracting as much valuable resources from the asteroid Amelia's Jewel as possible. However, you're not going to be alone. Your operation will rival other independent mining companies whose goal is the same, get rich and out. Dangerous conditions await and equipment failures are common, but most of all, be wary of alien marauders who might be waiting in the darkness, poised to strike when the least expected. Nobody is safe, and every minute counts. Wealthy mining corporations are waiting to sponsor you, and the most profitable crews will be rewarded. So assign your crew members wisely, start drilling, and please try to avoid being disintegrated. The riches of the Dark Rock await. Looks really interesting. It's a worker placement game. It actually has a cooperative and solo. It has a 2 to 5 player cooperative way to play, a 2 to 5 player competitive mode, 1 to 5 players cooperative mode, and 2 players head-to-head mode. So that's actually really, really interesting to me. I think this is a game Beth and I could really get into. because she's a big fan of Agricola, and it has a lot of that worker placement stuff, but I mean, it can be kind of a hefty game. But this game looks really interesting, looks really cool. I'm actually kind of happy I won it. So I thank those guys, Magic Meeple Games, and everybody, for, you know, hooking me up with this one. I look forward to playing it. Those are the games I got for Christmas and my birthday this year. I did get a gift card to my local game store. I haven't had a chance to go down and buy anything yet. I'm not entirely sure what I want to spend the money on, so I'm kind of mulling that over. I don't really need any more X-Wing or X-Wing ships or anything like that, so I've really got to sort of think about what I want and what I want to get. I've already got the expansion for the Betrayal at House on the Hill, so that's kind of already done and out of the way. Anyway, since we last spoke, really, I haven't had too much of a chance to sit down and play anything. Jeremy and I think the last time we recorded, had just sat down and played a little bit of Doomtown Reloaded, and we really want to sit down and play that again to get a sort of a clearer vision of the game. We did get to play some deck building game that Jeremy picked up, but we got to play. It's a Pathfinder. I'm not sure it was Rise of the Rune Lords. It's a Skull Island, Skull Pass. It's their pirate themed one, and me, Jeremy, and Robin sat down and played it. And I gotta say, we were not that impressed with it. We've heard some good things about like the Rise of the Rune Lords and their game, but we were just not into it. So, I mean, I think we might get more into that when we sit down, when Jeremy, me, and everyone can sit down and actually discuss it, but we were not too horribly impressed. Speaking from my point of view, I have just not ever been able to play a deck-building game that I actually enjoyed, so I'm just beginning to think deck-building stuff just really isn't for me, so we'll see how it goes, but we'll do what we can. I'm going to talk a little bit of news that's come up this month that I spotted. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit of the news that's come out in the last month. One thing that popped up that looked really interesting from Geek and Sundry was an article about a D&D enthusiast and artist, Miguel Zavala. He took it upon himself and actually created 3D printable miniature patterns for all of the monsters in the Dungeons and Dragons Monster Manual. It's nearly 300 figures, and he put it out for free. Now I'm gonna, I've got the link, I'll put it in the show notes, but you can actually download these for free via Shapeways, and go ahead and if you get yourself a nice 3D printer, because they are coming down, you can start 3D printing your own 3D miniatures. I think it's a really cool idea, and it's definitely something that's going to change at least the hobby game market from the perspective of those of us that don't want to don't need to buy the collectible miniatures for the collectible aspect, or say, you know, those of us who, hey, I need some, you know, Gorgons for various things and I don't want to pay $12 a piece for them. Here's an option, you know. Gale Force 9 announced many, many, many months ago that they are putting out a hobby Doctor Who game. So, I mean, not talking some BBC board game that has come out that's got some sort of wiggy mechanic and you play in, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes, and this is clearly not meant for the hobby game market. This is Gale Force 9, who's put out some really solid licensed stuff and has been putting out the Doctor Who RPG for some time now. They're actually made their announcement in the middle of this month that they're coming out with the Doctor Who Time of the Daleks board game. It's a game where your players are going to take on the role of the Doctor, traveling throughout time and space, finding new companions and having adventures to repair the web of time. Players do this by overcoming challenges. The Doctor can overcome most challenges he encounters, but he always needs his companions to help give him an edge. Players must cooperate to stop the Daleks while trying to get their TARDIS to Gallifrey first to prevent Davros from invading the Matrix in the first place. So it looks like this is going to be a cooperative Doctor Who board game. It looks really, really cool. It looks like the mechanic is this web of time that's used to monitor progress in the game as the Doctor's in Dalek progress. towards Gallifrey. If the Daleks get to Gallifrey first, the Doctors lose the game. If the Doctor gets there first, the Doctors win the game. You actually have figures in there for Doctors 1, 4, 5, 10, 11, and 12. So, I mean, you can have multiple Doctors in here. This looks really, really neat, really, really cool. I was really excited when they announced this game. Here's the kicker. It's probably going to be about $80 or $90. So it's not going to be a cheap game. I really want to pick this one up. It's going to definitely be on my wish list. I don't think they have a definitive announcement as to when the game will be officially available, but it is coming. So we'll keep our eyes on that. I think some places were popping up saying first quarter of 2017 was when it was going to come out. But I don't think, just looking at their press release, they don't have a specific date saying, hey, it's coming out at this point. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But it's Doctor Who Time of the Daleks board game. So tons of fun. I think that's going to be really, really cool. Another article that makes the rounds occasionally, what with Star Wars Rogue One hitting theaters, and it was awesome, by the way, loved it. There's an article out there about the original Star Wars role-playing game from West End Games and how it sort of helped build the expanded universe. It's a really interesting article. I'll post the link to it on the show notes. So it goes into the history of that game, and I know it's something that Jeremy really, really enjoyed, and I really enjoyed as well. So, and news that just came out today is that Sandy Peterson, the author of Call of Cthulhu, and now one of the he is the vice president of the board of directors at Chaosium right now, is suing PayPal. He claims that PayPal has withheld over $57,000 raised via a Kickstarter for a video game project he created back in 2013. So apparently he's proven that he's delivered this product to people, and PayPal still isn't releasing funds to him. I mean, that's 57 grand that he needs. He's done several successful Kickstarters since then. $1 million for Cthulhu Wars Onslaught 2, and the Gods of War board game. So this doesn't seem like it's a cash grab or anything. It's just, this is, you know, generally, this is money that is used, that is due him. So, interesting sort of snippets here and there. That's really all I've got for today. I want to wish everyone a happy holidays, a happy new year. Thank goodness that 2016 is over. We can, excuse me. I think we can definitely happily put a nail in the coffin on this year, because, man, I'm ready for this year to be over. So, happy holidays. Let's all look forward to 2017. I guess I should really mention real quick, just a few days ago, sort of 2016, you know, sticking it to us one last time, hopefully. We've only got another 2 days left of the year, and I certainly hope they don't surprise us with anything else. But Carrie Fisher suffered a heart attack and passed away at the age of 60 this year. Shortly after finishing filming her role for Star Wars Episode 8. This kind of on the heels of Rogue One, which as I said was a wonderful movie. We had a lot of fun with it. My wife and I saw it and loved it. But in it, you know, there's some digital characters in it, and some de-aged or some digital versions of some young characters in it. And I will give you a spoiler. Leia makes a very brief appearance in the movie, and it's a digital version of her young self. So that's kind of weird in that, you know, that came out, and then, you know, 2 weeks later or a week later, Carrie Fisher herself passes away. She died of a heart attack. I think it's a really sad thing for me. I've never been this biggest Star Wars fan, but I sort of realize how much Star Wars actually means to me, and how much I love Star Wars. Ever since Disney took over the reins of Star Wars, they've been putting out some I think some solid material. It's been made me very excited to be a Star Wars fan for quite some time now. I have nothing against the prequel trilogy at all. I really, really enjoyed Force Awakens. I think Rogue One easily is one of the best movies in the Star Wars universe since Empire. It ranks right up there. It's a fantastic film. And with the passing of Carrie Fisher, you sort of get a little reflective because I've got a little girl, she's 3 years old, and one of the things that we started reading her, we got her for Christmas, was this big Star Wars book of these, of the entire original trilogy saga broken down into little 5-minute stories that I can read to her for bedtime. And she's grown quite fond of it and really, really loves it and really, really loves Princess Leia. And it's kind of a bittersweet thing because, you know, Carrie Fisher's passed away on the day, literally the day after she got this book. And that's going to be hard to tell her about when she gets older, you know? Because really thinking about sort of what Princess Leia, sort of Carrie Fisher means to me is that she really was the first princess that wasn't a damsel in distress. I know there were ones before her, there clearly have been ones after her, but she was the first one that I really remember. You know, people showed up to rescue her and she ends up rescuing herself and telling, you know, saying, you guys don't have a plan, we're going to do this. And she really was a take charge, a smart woman who really, you know, earned this moniker of princess and became a general later on and was very much a leader of her people. And Carrie Fisher played her very well. When Carrie Fisher was a woman, was a big advocate for mental health, and that mental health is something that is very, very dear to me, and my family has dealt with it. My wife has dealt with it, and over the years, and so that's just some sort of extra. That's some sort of extra hurt that's going on with this. I'm very saddened by her passing, and one the very next day, her mother Debbie Reynolds passed away, and it's just. You know, the shots keep coming in, and this year's been rough. But I really think that Carrie Fisher was really coming back into her own, and you know, finally getting some really good recognition in the mainstream for her work, and sort of making her little comeback with episode 7 and going into episode 8. She's rumored to have a bigger part. Very saddened by her passing, and. I think that's a role model that I'm very happy to have my daughter have, not just the character of Princess Leia, but the actress of Carrie Fisher. Thanks for listening. I know this is a bit of a disjointed and weird episode, but we wanted to get something out for our wonderful fans to listen to. Please be safe this holiday season. Be safe for New Year's. And we'll see you guys in 2017.
The Gamers Haven Podcast.
All right. Welcome back to the Gamers Haven. This is Jeremy. And I am trying to use my voice recorder to get something recorded as of December 29th, 2016 at 6:15 p.m. I've been at work late tonight, and we at the Gamers Haven were unable to get together this month due to illnesses and family and other unfortunate events. And I'm going to try to record something on my phone here, and hopefully it will actually come through. So what we are going to talk about today, well, that's a little bit more difficult. Usually I have others to bounce some, you know, stories off of, but I'm not really good when it comes to recording by myself. So hopefully I will... be able to keep your interest, and we'll kind of see where this story takes us. Now, on a non-game note, I am so glad this year is almost up. At this time, everyone probably knows, Carrie Fisher, and then Debbie Reynolds died. Now, I'm horrible with names, so there are tons of other individuals who left us in 2016, not just celebrities or musicians. Obviously, all the rest of us have lost, other individuals have lost people. Unfortunately, my grandfather passed away this year, so it's been a difficult year all the way around. I think everyone can pretty much agree with that in some way. So let's try to talk about gaming or fantasy or just something different. I think what I'm going to talk about, since I am by myself, is gaming as someone who is not good in social situations. I do not like social situations. Some people that know me would say, no, that's not true. He's very outgoing. He's very, you know, he talks and chit-chats. Well, I've done that because you have to do that in society. As most of you know, you have to go out and talk amongst everyone and so on. But really, I am incredibly antisocial. Nah, that's the wrong term for it. I am uncomfortable around people I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with new people and new situations. And as I get older, it only gets worse. So what does that have to do with anything when it comes to gaming? Well, gaming has always been my outlet for that social interaction. I've met my many good friends through gaming. I met my wife through gaming. I can tell that story someday. But it has always been a struggle. And the thing that I find the most difficult to do is that first meeting. That's what used to be so difficult for me. That first meeting in a game, meeting new people, you're not sure how you're not sure about them. You're not sure if they're going to be laid back and, you know, just accept your strangeness as just part of who you are. You don't know if you're going to click with that person. I mean, these are all normal human things, but sometimes for those of us who are not as outgoing or who have problems with groups of people, it can be very difficult. So what also is difficult, and I enjoy GMing, I enjoy telling a story. I don't claim to be good at it, but I do like it. I like to tell a story and have my adventures, my friends around the table, you know, be able to run through a world and do something that is different. But as a GM, you have to be very social, outgoing, and that is incredibly difficult for me. And I've noticed as I've gotten older that one of the main things that causes me issues is actually keeping the game going. And keeping the game going is not just because of preparation issues or anything like that. I will find myself actually stopping myself or finding some reason not to run the game. And it has nothing to do with how fun the game is for me. GMing, I enjoy all of that. I enjoy role-playing, I enjoy board games, I enjoy all of that, but there's just something about that building up to those individuals, even friends, good friends of yours who have been around you and you've been with for years. I find it difficult to re-allow them into my space, which sounds so horrible, but it's something that I know myself I've struggled with my whole life, and it's only gotten worse as I've gotten older. So what is a gamer to do? Well, unfortunately, I currently don't have great advice for that. I've told some of my friends that I will always try to get together with you for whatever reason, gaming or whatever, but one thing is I will have a tendency to forget. I can schedule things and I forget about them. And I sometimes think that it's part of being one of those individuals who just is not very social. We want to be part of the group, but we're awkward. So I've told friends that, you know, I really want to go, but I just can't promise I will. And I'm sorry for that. I enjoy being around my friends and playing the games and even just hanging out, watching movies or whatever. But it is a struggle all the time. It even gets so bad when I'm in someone else's game and they introduce someone new. I have this internal struggle of, okay, how do I handle this? I mean, these should be normal things that you can, that you should have been able to figure out when you're a kid, but it does not always work for me like that. I find myself not having as much fun, and I realize it's definitely not anybody else's fault. It's totally my issue. So I do look at that, and I let me go back to what do you do? Well, one of the things I do is I just pick and choose my battles to force myself to take, to do, to the games to go to, the people to hang out with at that time. And I try to, for myself, make it as important and as focused as I can, because I know that in the next moment, I could be very much uncomfortable and very much not wanting to be around people. And I really find it as a struggle sometimes just to focus, to make sure that I can get through those social gaming interactions. Because gaming, I mean, not even some computer gaming, but the role-playing, the board games, LARPing. I LARPed a long time ago. I enjoyed it to a bit, but then I realized that, again, I just was running into that that lack of being a part of it, for that feeling, that uncomfortableness. And I wanted to, I kept getting farther and farther away. And that's one of the struggles too, is just being able to focus enough to say, okay, I want to do this. I want to do it on that day. And so that when that day comes, I don't find an excuse, whether that excuse is something that I consciously create or subconsciously create. So this particular recording is not meant, I'm not trying to whine. That's not what this is about. What this is about is those of us who want to be part and want to game and want to be, you know, part of that social interaction with our gaming friends, but do just have something that stops us, whatever that is, mental illness, maybe a physical illness. I mean, there's so many different things, and the struggle is not everyone will understand it. And when I say not everyone will understand it, I don't mean like understand everything. I just mean accept you as you are, And while no one should be asked to modify their life, just some understanding goes a long ways. And if you do feel yourself as, you know, in that particular circle of not always being able to control the urge to hide, I understand. And some would say, well, it's maybe it's depression. Well, that's a possibility. However, I think it's a lot deeper than that. And for some of us, it seems like it's a forever type situation. So, again, I go back to how do we resolve this? Well, obviously, if it's a mental illness or a physical illness, you know, talk to your doctor. Talk to your friends as much as you can and just say, look, I struggle. I'm not, if I can't come to something, I am not trying to blow you off. It's just a difficulty that is hard for me to overcome. And force yourself, focus on something, because you cannot hide in your house your whole life. If, I guess you could run single player games for all the time, but that doesn't seem like a lot of fun. And I apologize for the background noise. I'm going to leave my recorder on as I drive. Not looking at the phone or anything, so it's a little bit unfortunate because poor Ethan's going to try to edit this, and it's going to be difficult, and I apologize for that. And who knows, maybe the recording on this will be so horrible no one can even hear it. But if you do struggle, you have to fight it every day, because it's not going to get, it may get better for a little while, but it's not going to get better forever. I mean, maybe you're lucky. Maybe it does. Maybe you overcome whatever that is stopping you, and you can, you know, you can actually go out whenever you want. But if that is you, well, I'm happy for you. That's great. But for some of us, it's an everyday struggle. So you have my compassion, because I understand. What's some other ways that we might be able to, you know, some of the other things that we can try? Well, I mean, some people, the interaction is the actual problem when it comes to being in a physical environment with someone. Now, with computers, we obviously have things like Roll20 and other programs that really allow someone to really go out and basically find games over the internet. I mean, in the past, and actually today, we have play by email, play by mail type games, but which I never found those. I tried a few of those, and I never found them to be that fun. But that's just because of the pace. But that's something you could try, maybe a slower pace like that. But like I said, you could try the internet. You could try to get with groups like that. I have a tendency when I do my video chats, even with some of the other groups I'm with, I turn off the video. I feel uncomfortable with the video on. And I don't, it's not necessary. It just uses up, I guess it uses up computer stuff. But I just turn it off. And I just stick with, audio. Now, the thing I would caution you about, though, is I don't believe that you should always, always, always only use the internet process to reach out to gaming groups unless there is just something that it's just something that you can't change completely. And I mean, maybe there's an unfortunate physical handicap that does not allow you to leave the home. Maybe you have an illness that makes the outside dangerous to you. But if that's not the case, I really, really would push everyone to try to go out to actual people, because the one thing I've discovered for myself is, and it's going to get a little bit louder, my car is running here, so again, I apologize if you can't hear very well, but one thing I've noticed for myself is that I get bored sometimes when it comes to the play by over the internet, because there isn't that direct human interaction. Because one thing I love about role-playing games are just watching people's faces and playing off of their reactions, their smiles, their frowns, their laughter. And at least with the tools that I've had and had able to use, it became, there was a disconnect. Now, maybe with the newer, as the, you know, younger generation becomes, as the younger generation becomes older, starts playing more games, maybe it won't even be an issue for them. But for me, I do find it as a, it's a block. So, not to mention, if you only socialize in your games that way, I can't, at least for me, in my mind, I don't think that's always the most healthy situation. I think you really should go out into the world if you're able and meet people. Now, that's not going to be easy. I would recommend smaller groups, and I would recommend, again, talking to the GM, especially if they're a friend of yours, or just maybe even coming up with some sort of, not necessarily, well, it could be a safe word, but just something to, you know, so that the GM and maybe some of the other people, you know, around the table understand that, okay, it's you need to stop, you need to leave, you need to take a break, whatever you need, and they can keep playing, because you never want to get in their, you know, your friends or the gaming group's way if they're fun either, because that's not fair for them. Now, if you are also someone who look around and you see the other social interactions and you have a, how do I put this? It can be difficult seeing how easy others can interact. And you could use that as a tool to learn more, but one thing you have to be careful of is anger. Now, not everybody will have anger, but you just gotta be careful of that, and you want to make sure you're not jealous of others being able to go out and do stuff when you can't. But you just have to focus on yourself, and you have to make sure that you are taking care of your own feelings so that they don't cause pain and irritation to others. You really have to be mindful of your own self. And have fun. I mean, that's what gaming's for. I mean, for some of us, it is an outlet for our social interactions, but it is supposed to be fun. So, while I hate saying to do this, you sometimes have to force yourself to have fun. If you feel that that dread is coming over you, you might want to just overreact in your own mind about how fun it's going to be. Yeah, I guess it could be a letdown, but more likely you create your own mental reality for the most part, beyond whatever, you know, whatever medical and all that. But for the most part, you create your own mental reality, and you do have control over many of your emotions, or you should. And try to focus on the positives. Focus on the things that you enjoy. One thing I always look for in a character is, I like, and this is weird, I know, but I like some of the mundane things that characters will do. But yeah, we are spending our time to get together to go on a great adventure, but there's just something about being able to point out your character doing some mundane thing, or maybe mundane things to them. Maybe it's with magic. I love magic users using utility spells. That was the one unfortunate piece I disliked about some of Fori. Not that Fori is a bad game. It's perfectly fun, but it took away a lot of utility spells that I... yeah, you could do them in rituals, but oh god, it was expensive. It just took away some utility that I enjoy. Yeah, I want to be heroic, but I also, like magic items, I enjoy magic items that make your characters' lives easier. Because, keep in mind, they're adventurers. They're going to have those things like, tents that put themselves, that put themselves up, and warm sleeping bags, and that are magically warm or waterproof, and just things like that. So, I know that's kind of a tangent, but just focus on those fun little things that you like. Try to create a story background for your character if you like doing that. Maybe that'll help add to the fun. Just whatever you can do that will get you out of that funk. Whatever, you know, whatever is causing that funk. So, I don't want to leave today's recording in a bad, melodramatic sort of way, but I do think sometimes you have to have more serious discussions. And maybe not. Maybe no one likes that. But you know what? This is my recording, so I'm going to do it. And if I figure out that I enjoy doing this, I might do some more. I don't know. Because there's some interesting things I could do. Some brainstorming. Just playing around with some ideas. You know, just seeing where those go. But getting back on track, which is so difficult for me sometimes, I just want everyone out there, gamer and non-gamer, and everybody to remember that we are all in this together, and we really have to take care of ourselves and each other, because if we don't, things will never get better. I'm not talking about politics, I'm not talking about religion, I'm just talking about moral human caring. And I hope that as this year winds down, you can kind of think back on all the fun you've had while gaming, as well as all the people you've met and played with and talked to and interact with. And remember those fondly, because it can be difficult sometimes. So you gotta take a little bit of time to just sit back and enjoy the little things. So. I don't really have a three-parter, but I do have, my hope is, for Christmas, I've got a bunch of third-party, as well as WOTC book showing up for D&D 5e. I also have Dungeon Saga coming. Some of these might be actually at home when I get there, but not all of them. I will try to do a review on every one of them. Just to kind of give you guys an idea of how what's good about them, obviously if I enjoy it and so on. I enjoy Amazon quite a bit, so let's just say I dropped a lot of my Christmas gift cards and such on Amazon, and I may drop some more. I also got Armada, and I like the big ships. I like X-Wing. I don't get to play X-Wing much, but I do enjoy, I like the Armada. The prices for everything, again, it's both reasonable and too high. I'm a cheapskate, so, that's not going to change. Alright, so, anyway, like I said, just be safe for the rest of this year and into the next year. Take care of your friends and gaming friends and other friends and family, and we will continue recording the Gamers Haven podcast as much as we can, and we will bring you down to earth, hopefully entertaining podcast as much as possible. So. I hope everyone had a good Christmas, and this is signing off from Gamers Haven Podcast. Thanks.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.